It's Mark Yeagy here, wealth architect and lifestyle investor. Let's take your life to the next level. Welcome to the Wealth Architect Podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Mark Yeagy. Welcome to another edition of the Wealth Architect Podcast. Glad you're here. Today, we have the founder and CEO of Bighorn Capital Fund. It's a real estate investment firm based in Laramie, Wyoming. And our guest today has a master's degree in petroleum engineering. I probably don't know a lot of those people from the University of Wyoming. And he brings a decade of experience from his time at Shell Oil. Today, his fund leverages the experience that he has to help professionals, particularly in the oil and gas industry, achieve financial independence through strategic real estate investments. Our guest today is Casey Gregerson. Welcome, Casey. How are you?
Doing great, Mark. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, glad to have you. And I'm fascinated by the oil and gas industry. And, you know, we have the president that's saying drill, baby, drill, and all these other things. Let me just start off by just asking you, just in the last few weeks since the president's been in office, have you seen an uptick in activity and excitement?
Definitely an excitement. I think the activity is always lagging a little bit. Okay. But I'm certainly optimistic. And it's kind of a perfect storm for what we do, because I grew up in Wyoming and that market is a heavy oil and gas market, but it's been really stable over the last several years, despite oil and gas being very up and down and pretty lull, right? So I'm pretty excited because we've cracked the code to make deals work in Wyoming anyway. And now if we get this like headwinds or tailwinds, I should say, of oil and gas coming up, I'm pretty excited.
So what do you guys do? I mean, I guess I could ask you about your background. You could tell me a little bit about how you got here, but I pretty much said it was Shell and then entrepreneurship, and now you're doing a fund. But do you do the financing? Do you do the operations? Do you do both? Do you put people together? Tell us a little bit about how your business runs and what you do.
Absolutely. And maybe it's because I've been in a smaller market, and also just because I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a hustler, I like building operations, but I've built it all together. Right. So I'm definitely by heart and like sort of by background and from all the way from the start, even when I was still working in oil and gas, I was the operator. Right. I was working, and just a little bit of background, how I made that transition was I was working in like West Texas. So people have seen the series Landman. That was literally me. That was my job. I was out there on the rigs driving out there in West Texas every day. So that was my job.
It's a really good, really good series. Just started.
Yeah, I loved it. I know. I loved it. And I was like sharing that with people because so many people watch that. And it's kind of funny, like when you're living it, I mean, we made fun of it and we thought it was quirky, but we're like, who would care about like West Texas oil field stuff? But then the way they dramatized it, I'm like, that's the truth. I mean, that was what we lived through. So that should give people like a vivid image of like, that was me working out in the field, but at least I worked for a big operator, Shell. So we had at least a better schedule than most, where it was 2 weeks on, and then I have 2 weeks off. So during that 2 weeks off, that's when I started building out operations. That's when I started finding rental properties off market, finding properties that needed to be fixed up and then repairing them and then refinancing them, keeping them, right? And then the other big thing that I built over the years was property management. So I bought my first property in 2010 up in Laramie, where I went to school. Actually, my dad co-signed, kind of a cool story, but that's the quick and short of it, is he helped co-sign with me, bought the first property. And I still own that one today, 15 years later, still owning and managing it along with 250 others. But what I've done over the years is being like working in Shell, right? Learning processes, very process driven, right? Learn like how to build out SOPs. So I actually train VAs to run my property management business, and they coordinate with my contractors, boots on the ground. So that's what kind of gives us the whole kind of vertical integration of like, we find the deals and then we fix them up with our crews and then we hold them. Some of them will flip and sell, but I love holding them long-term because that's where real wealth is built.
Gotcha. So you're in the real estate surrounding petroleum, but not in the actual petroleum investments themselves?
That's exactly right. Yep. So I had a great W-2 gig, and this is another thing I always tell people, because a lot of people are like, quit your W-2, go be an entrepreneur, right? I drug mine out as long as I could. I only left Shell about 2.5 years ago. But I had been building an assets and a portfolio all along the way. But I loved it because I had a great W-2 income and helped me finance a lot of my portfolios and a lot of my properties. And small banks loved me, right? I had the experience, I had the W-2 income, and I kind of had the best of both worlds. So I hung on to that for a long time and leveraged that oil and gas industry. And now the last little connection I'll share with you is today I still live in Houston, right? Actually, all my operations are in Wyoming. I mean, we look at some deals around Houston and around Texas, but it's tough right now. In Wyoming, I'm seeing a lot better numbers. But what works really well is all the guys I used to work with in oil and gas. Those guys aren't like me. They didn't go figure it out how to, like, they actually spent their off days on their, maybe with their family or going on vacation or who knows, going to the lake versus I was building up the assets, right? But anyway, those guys are ones I love working with now, to where they'll actually come in and they'll be, to answer your first question of like, do I raise the capital? Those are the guys, or I mean, I'll raise it from anybody, but I work with a lot of those guys to bring in the capital to continue to kind of feed our system and finding more deals.
That's fascinating. So mostly single family, or what are you looking at? You built a portfolio of something.
Yeah, Wyoming's a small state. So I like to cast a wide net. I kind of have to, it's essential to do it, right? There's 500,000 people in the entire state. And we do the surrounding states now as well to get more deal flow. But yeah, we'll look at single family stuff. Some of that stuff we'll buy and hold. The single families are the great ones that I like to buy and fix up and flip and sell on the open market. And the multifamilies, we'll do the same thing there. We'll buy it, fix it up, and sell it. But some of the larger ones, those are the ones that I'm wanting to hold within my funds or hold within my portfolio. So we do a mix of both, right? And in a perfect world, I don't know. There's pros and cons to both, right? I do love the fact that I can go buy, and I've done this in a couple times, where I'll buy a 66 unit apartment complex that, like, we bought one of them that, like, we renovated like 50 some units. Right. But we got that economy of scale and we did 50 of them at once versus trying to find 50 little single family houses, which we do, which is a lot more work.
Yeah. So what, you'll find a place and so it sounds like you're rehabbers and you like to rehab, and then what do you do, the cash out refinance route, and then you hold it and you rent it out forever kind of thing?
Yeah, we love that strategy. We call it the BRRRR strategy, right? Buy it, rehab it, refinance it, rent it out, and repeat. Those ones are tougher to find these days. What I'm doing a lot of lately is finding properties that have a lot of equity, or maybe they're free and clear, and I'll negotiate terms with the seller. Those are my favorites, right? Sure. But I'll also do a lot of them because rates were so low a couple years ago. We find a lot of deals where somebody's got to move and they don't have a lot of equity, or maybe they do, but there's a lot of work that's needed. We'll take over those loans, right? And we'll take them over subject to, right? And we do this all through a title company, right? And we'll take that over and we'll take advantage of a 3% rate and keep that. That way we keep a low payment and we can continue to make, because right now it's hard to find cash flowing rental properties. I mean, depending on what market you're in.
Yeah. And I'm sure with interest rates high, getting new financing is ridiculous.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's probably slowed down quite a bit. I know a lot of multifamily people and they're saying things are a little bit slower, although not stopped, right?
Yes. So, I mean, I have that conversation with sellers all the time. It's like, hey, the best thing you have going for your property right now is that 3% loan that you got a couple years ago, right? The values have kind of maybe plateaued, and maybe they bought at the top of the market and now they got to move, or they're having a divorce or whatever they're going through, right? But I'll be like, hey, but that loan, that's saving you. That's what's allowing me to get in and make this deal work, versus everyone else is like, hey, I can't help you. Well, hey, we can help you because I could take over that loan, because they don't want to be a landlord, right? But that's what we do all day, every day. So we'll go put a tenant in there and we can make the numbers work.
Gotcha. So you're probably constantly seeking financing, right?
Absolutely.
Investors in finance, so that do you give out equity investments? Do you do fixed income, both kind of thing? What are you looking for?
Absolutely. We offer both because there's always a need for both, like you just hit on. We have one this is the easiest one for people to wrap their head around, just because it's straight, it's simple, and it's debt. So a lot of times I'll bring people in, and I have an offering in my fund right now that does exactly this, where it's between 10 to 12% return, and we'll secure them by the property. And we actually cross collateralize it across multiple different assets that we're buying and holding for cash flow, or maybe we're fixing and flipping. So that's one easy way. And I try to make it easy and simple for people to where they know the return, and they can actually get out of it, right? To where we have a 6-month lockup, and then after that, they can request within 90 days. So it's a really good one for people that are like, man, I'm new to this asset class, or they're new to getting to know me, right? They haven't done a deal with me. Maybe they don't want to lock up their money for 5 years. So it's a really good way to start.
Got it. So take us through like your typical deal, so we can kind of get an understanding of how it works. Maybe include timelines and resources in there if you can.
Yes. Perfect. I'll give you a big one. We're kind of in the middle of, and actually we're starting to get toward the end. So this was a large multifamily. We bought this one for two. It was really, really good terms, right? So this lady owned it free and clear. She had inherited it from her parents. And it's always important to understand the story, right? Like, cause a lot of my investors are like, well, why would anybody sell that good of a deal to you, Casey? Like something's up here, right? It's not adding up.
Question I always ask and get asked. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. So I was talking to, so the story is she had inherited it. She had been trying to run it. She didn't have a whole lot of experience doing it. She had basically run off all the contractors because it's a small town, but there was a ton of demand, which I'll get to in a second. And one of the best growing markets in Wyoming. It's actually right on the border. It's in Evanston, Wyoming. It's right on the border. So it's like 60 miles from Park City and like 80 miles from Salt Lake. So you're there in an hour, right? And all those areas, prices have gone way up, right? Sure. So this is a very affordable place. There's also Bill Gates is putting in a nuclear plant right there up the road about 40 miles. And this is the first kind of major town, which actually has a Walmart, right? That's what people look forward to in areas like this is they actually have a Walmart. Okay. So anyway, you find this deal, this lady. So she's ran off all the contractors and in markets like this. And honestly, this is a reason why I've leaned into like finding our own crews because she ran them all off because they were either way overpriced or they're giving her the runaround. It's kind of par for the course, unfortunately. So I'm like, hey, I can solve that problem. I can move my crews in. I actually moved a crew from here in Houston up to Evanston. And I'm like, hey, why don't you guys go up here, live at the hotel or live at the complex? It's 45 units and fix it up. So anyway, that's kind of how we found it, but I'll give you the numbers. So we bought it for roughly $2.375 million. And we are putting in so she carried us. Let me give you the capital stack. I'll back up a little bit. So $2.3 million was purchased. She carried 90% of that, or maybe like 95%. All but I gave her a $250,000 down payment. The rest she carried at 5% interest only. And this was a year ago when rates were still high. So really good terms. So what I did is I brought in my investors. We raised $1.7 million on top of that in second, right? I'm actually paying my investors 15% on this one because it was one of our first really large ones. So it was a really, and I wanted to really make it incentivizing for our limited partners. So they all come in. It was like 10 to 12 people combined for $1.7 million on top, right? But when you look at the strategy here is we're going to be able to refinance this thing. We've actually already done all the renovations. We're now working on filling it up. Our goal is by at some point this summer, we'll be able to fill it all up. And then I can go to a bank and refinance and I can pay everybody back. But the way I structured it is, even if I couldn't, I've got about a four-way runway. Because as my investors, I told them, I'm like, I want to get you guys out as fast as I can because I don't want to pay 15%, right? I want to be able to refinance and then go to the next deal with you. So we're both kind of incentivized to go quick. But I'm like, worst case scenario, we could go for 4 years. And if I'm paying you 15% every month, secured by this multifamily asset with a lot of equity, like there could be worse things. So that's how we structure that one.
And how many units was that?
45 units.
45 total, huh?
Yeah. Right.
Hey, it's Mark Yeagy here to tell you about our Cash Flow Machine trading program that's designed to teach you how to make safe, reliable income. Now, we shoot for 2-4% a month of income and growth in your portfolio. And we have courses to teach you how to do this yourself or inside a mastermind community. And the best part of that is it only takes about 20 minutes a week to implement. Now, while 2-4% a month doesn't sound like much, I show you exactly how we took my IRA from $111,000 to over $500,000 in just 19 months without huge risk. I'm not telling you this to brag, just to show you that you could do this too. So to learn more about this program, go to cashflowmachine.io. That's cashflowmachine.io, and you can learn more.
So it's a big rehab. I kind of skipped over that. Like we were putting 1.7 in for part of that was a down payment. And then we renovated at least half of them, probably 25 out of 45 units for rehabbing. But again, they were under market rents. And I don't know, I've just been finding a ton of this in Wyoming. Okay, I'll share this with you. Wyoming, if you haven't been up there, people know who've been there, right? Wyoming is like 20 years behind the rest of the country in terms of technology and just the way it works. And people love that, right? That's why a lot of people choose to live there. But when it comes to buying these multifamily assets, like they're not being run like they are here in Houston or Austin or Las Vegas. Right. And so I'm able to, that's why I love living here and being around the sophisticated investors like that and applying that where I grew up. Right. Cause I could speak their language.
So you don't have cash flow in a unit in a project like that, probably you've got rid of everybody probably that's living there, to rehab it and then upgrade it and bring it up from a Class C or whatever to a Class B. And then the refinancing is what pays back the investors. So do you have some kind of period of time where you don't have to pay back the interest on the investors, or they start on day one getting an interest payment?
That's such a good question, Mark. I did this one a little different because there was so much room in the deal and I wanted to pay and just kind of instill that investor confidence day one. So we've been paying interest monthly since day one. But I had enough cushion in that 1.7 re-raised to where I could pay for the down payment, I could pay for all the rehab and then still have cushion, right? So I structured it that way to where essentially I was financing a little bit of my payments into that. And it wasn't like we actually are just now getting to where it's already starting to break even, because there were some units that were rented out, but really we only had to get it to about, I don't have the exact numbers, but I would say 60 to 70% occupied to where we would start to break even, because our debt is so good on this, because her seller finance payment and then it's all interest only.
Right. Any disasters that you want to share? Like what's your worst deal? Just so you get kind of that sounds like a sweet deal. What's one that kind of didn't go as well?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I love sharing these too, because it's I've always got that feedback when I share both, right? Because if somebody's just sharing the good ones, then you might want to ask some more questions.
And we can learn from this too. So that's
absolutely. And that's where I was going to go, is this has been one of my biggest learning lessons. So this was in Dallas, Fort Worth, and this was probably 5-6 years ago. We were, we had gotten this, and again, it was this kind of false sense of confidence because we were doing the BRRRR strategy. We were buying these houses for like $120,000, putting $40,000 into it. And they were, and then we got them refinanced and they were appraising for like 220 or whatever. And we got all our money back. And that we did this like on like 4 or 5 houses. We're like, oh, this is awesome. Right. And these are all around like the campus of TCU and around Fort Worth. And we're like, all right, cool. We're going to scale this. So what we did is we're like, all right, let's go do some higher price fix and flips that the numbers look like they're good. We could make money on those ones and we could use some hard money. We could use some private money lenders and we could fund these. And then when we go make 40K or 50K, whatever, 60,000 on these flips, then we can keep feeding the engine and right, keep buying more rentals. So that was the thesis, right? The problem was we were really good at the lower end and we had a good GC and things were working, right? Well, now we go to the higher end and we have to do a new set of contractors, a new set of buyers. The market kind of, it was a perfect storm of market softened a little bit. It was also the winter time. We had bad contractors, right? We had to pay for things 2 or 3 times. We're using private money and hard money with high interest rates. Anyway, we got in a bind where we had to get out of these to where we had to sell them. And that's where I learned this lesson of, if I would have been buying stuff like I buy now in Wyoming, where let's say that things weren't going good and I could just hold it and refinance, we'd have been fine. The problem was we couldn't refinance these because they were at like $500,000-$600,000 price points, right? If you refinance, it's not going to cash flow and the bank's not going to do it, right? So our only option was to write a check and just take the loss, right? And and it was brutal, right? But I learned that lesson of I'm always want to have 2 exit strategies. So my primary ones are, can I flip it? If I can flip it, great, let's go cash it out. If I can't, could this thing still stand on its own and be a rental property? And that's why now I do that in my fund. And I'm so bullish about what we're doing now, which I didn't really mention earlier. But the other component we have is an equity fund, to where we're doing exactly that. We're finding those deals that right now, back to the very first point we talked about, I think there's some optimism in the market in Wyoming, because if oil and gas pushes up, we could really see prices rise. So, and again, we're not just betting on appreciation. We're betting on, we're forcing the value just with renovations, right? But if we get those tailwinds, it could push up even more. Right. Yep. But again, so that's the thesis of buying these and fixing and flipping them. But let's say they don't work. That's why I like the fund and having a longer term horizon. This is a 5-year fund. So let's say that the market isn't strong this summertime when we list them. All right. Well, we'll put a tenant in. We can cash flow it. We can hold it. Right. And we'll just continue to hold it over time and play the long game. So anyway, that's my horror story. And that's how we've tried to course correct and avoid it again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, living life leaves clues, right? So, you learn what not to do and what to do. So it sounds like you've got it dialed in and you're probably still learning a lot. I'm constantly learning in my business. So you're learning a lot, but that's great. How do people find out a bit more about you and what you do, get to meet you if they want to get involved with you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, wherever people are at, if you guys want to go to my website, caseygregerson.com. But if you guys are on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, I'm very active. Just go search my name. You'll find me. I'm the only Casey Gregerson with all E's. And yeah, I would reach out. And one thing I would encourage people to do is go to my website, caseygregerson.com. And right at the top of that, you'll see my passive investing playbook. So I didn't mention that I actually played college football. Love the playbook, right? And grew up as a quarterback, right? So I'm like, how do I help more people do what I've done? And that's a goal that I didn't get to share just yet, but I wanted to take a chance to mention is my goal through building this vertically integrated company was like, I was able to achieve my financial freedom and I was able to leave my W-2 job, right? And while that might be great for some people, I at least want to give people that choice to where, sure. When it, cause I, a lot of my story comes down to like, I didn't want to miss my kids, like games and like my family moments. I have four boys, right? So a really big catalyst to me really like leaning into that playbook and building that out for people and helping 100. So my goal is to help 100 families achieve their financial freedom number, right? Because I want to give them that choice to where if they got to choose between work and kids or work and family, they can make that choice, right? And it's going to, there's always a spectrum, right? And some, yeah. There might be a time in life where you've got to choose work, but at least I want to work them in that progress to where they can make that choice. So anyway, go download the playbook. It's free. Check some stuff out there. And I'd love to connect with people.
That's great. And you also have a podcast, correct?
Yes. Yep. Rigs to Riches.
Rigs to Riches. I love it. I love it. And so it's rigstoriches.com or how can people find that?
Yeah. Yeah. I would go, the easiest Apple. Way is to go to, yeah, go to our, my caseygregerson.com website and you guys okay. can check that out. Or my YouTube channel. We've got all the replays there. We're actually rolling that out in Q2 this year, but I'm excited. As I mentioned earlier, like coming from oil and gas, and it's not, if you're not in the oil and gas industry, you're still going to get a ton of value because it's really geared toward how helping like high earning W-2 professionals or business owners, people who want to get into real estate and want to find passive ways to do it. It's all about that. So I definitely encourage people to listen to that.
I love it. Well, you're not in shortage of excitement, in your life, probably in your business. So it might be fun to get excited and involved with you. So thank you so much for, laying it all out, your time, your wisdom. Appreciate your being here on the Wealth Architect Podcast.
Love it. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks a lot, Casey. And for everybody else, remember what I always say, never give up your power and your health, your wealth, or your time. Have a great day, everybody, and I'll see you next time on the Wealth Architect Podcast. Take care.
You've been listening to the Wealth Architect Podcast with Mark Yeagy. Follow us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Like and subscribe on YouTube. Share and tell your friends. See you soon.